Welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Amanda Hayes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Anna. Hello, everyone.
And this week we've been reading Summer by Ali Smith. First book news. There are a couple of exciting book award shortlists and longlists, Amanda. So the Booker Prize shortlist has been announced. Everybody might have seen this by the time this episode goes live, because that was last week, but we haven't caught up since then. So the shortlist is The New Wilderness by Diane Cook, This Mournable Body by Tsitsi Dangaremba, Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshi, The Shadow King by Mardza Mengistay, and Real Life by Brandon Taylor, and Shuggy Bane by Douglas Stewart. And a couple, I think this is a really exciting shortlist. There are a couple that when we looked at the long list, we've already put a little star next to. And so The New Wilderness by Diane Cook is the dystopian one that had not appealed to me, but now I'm a bit more intrigued now that it's been shortlisted. And when I say hadn't appealed to me, not because I'm sure it would be an excellent book, but just the word dystopia, as you know.
That scares me off too.
And This Mournable Body by Tsitsi Dangaremba we're very interested in, and that's a follow-up from an earlier book that Tsitsi Dangaremba wrote, and I think set in Zimbabwe from memory. That one sounded good, and I've heard really good things as well.
Excellent.
So that is on my list. And Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshi. So that's the one set in India.
That's right.
Where the woman's mother had been a terrible mother and been in an ashram and quite bohemian, but then the daughter needs to take care of her mother. The tables are turned and they have a very fractious relationship. And I think it's quite a confronting book, but I have heard really good things.
Yeah, I really like the sound of that one.
Yeah, and so lots of people have been sort of since the long list was announced, I've noticed more people reading Burnt Sugar, so that's still on my radar. And The Shadow King by Mardza Mengistay, which is set around the time that Mussolini invaded Ethiopia, and that's a period of history I don't know anything about and sounds really intriguing, but also people have said it's just beautiful,
okay.
A beautiful book. It is a bit longer than I expected. I bought it recently and it's a little bit chunky, but I'll go there. And Real Life by Brandon Taylor, set in the US, I believe. And Shuggy Bane by Douglas Stewart. This one has been getting a lot of hype.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah. And it's quite sad in some ways.
Yeah.
It's the boy with the alcoholic mother in Glasgow, I believe.
I've heard it's quite polarizing. People love it or don't.
Right. So. Well, I'm going to give that a go. I've bought it and it's on my shelf. So I'll update you once I've read it. But that's Shuggy Bane. And of course, missing from this list is The Mirror and the Light by Hilary Mantel. So a lot of people have been quite shocked. And I think there was just that sentimental people wanted to see if she would get the third Booker, which would be the first time someone's had the trifecta, I think. But I wasn't that surprised. I thought the book was just a bit too long and it sagged in the middle for me. But on the other hand, I would have shortlisted it just for the last 100 pages. So, you know, I'm sure the judges had a difficult time. You know,
I don't know how they do it to be honest.
No, and it's so brilliant and yet as a whole novel. But anyhow, it's not to be for Hilary Mantel this year. She has won two Bookers, so we don't feel too...
No, it's nice to see all these new, these debut authors on the list as well.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting list, I think, quite diverse. And then the National Book Awards long list for translated literature has come out. So a couple on here that we're familiar with. One is The Enlightenment of the Greengage Tree by Shukafay Azar, translated from the Persian by Anonymous. And that was on she's an Australian writer, and it was on, I think, the shortlist for the Booker International Prize. Another one that I recognise is Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor, translated from Spanish by Sophie Hughes, which I think was also on that shortlist, and some people really loved that and expected it to win. And the other one, of course, that we know is Kim Ji Young, born 1982, by Cho Nam Joo, translated from the Korean by Jamie Chang, which we just did last week.
Yeah, that's great to see that on there.
Yeah. So anyway, an interesting one to follow, and I do love seeing translated literature getting some more attention. Now on to our book of the week, Summer by Ali Smith, and this is the fourth and final book in her seasonal quartet. So Ali Smith has written four books in 4 years, which just to take that alone is an incredible achievement. And Amanda and I read Autumn, which was the episode of this podcast that was never put to air.
That's right, because that was the one we did first, wasn't it?
We did it
first. We didn't think it was very good.
No.
But us, not the book.
Yes, that's right. We loved the book and the audio was terrible. So
live and learn.
That's on the cutting room floor. But we then did Winter and
Spring.
I'll get there in the end. The order of the seasons. It is Monday morning, so, you know, forgive me. So we did Winter and Spring, so you can always go back and listen to those. And so we're very excited to do Summer, the final one. And just to recap, Ali Smith is a Scottish author. She's been described by Sebastian Barry as Scotland's Nobel laureate in waiting. So she's held in enormously high regard. She's written many novels, fiction and non-fiction books. And notably in 2014, her book How to Be Both was shortlisted for the then Man Booker Prize. It won the Bailey's Women's Prize, which is now the Women's Prize for Fiction. It won the Folio Prize. It won the Goldsmiths Prize, which is the one they give for inventive or innovative fiction. And it won the Costa Novel of the Year, Costa Book Award. And so I think that's when Ali Smith came onto my radar, and I still haven't read How to Be Both, but I must. And then she embarked on, there might have been a book in between, but she embarked on the seasonal quartet, and the first one, Autumn, was published in 2017. And it was around the time of Brexit. So it actually was covering Brexit and the election of Donald Trump sort of in real time. So quite notable for that, because a lot of novels, of course, are not so contemporary because it normally takes so long for something to be published. So they're always looking back. Autumn was shortlisted for the 2017 Booker Prize, and all of them have received great reviews and been, you know, shortlisted for various awards. And this is the final installment, Summer. So Summer centres around Sasha and Robert, who are young siblings. Sasha's a teenager and quite an activist. So she's loosely inspired by Greta Thunberg, the climate change activist, I think. And their mother, Grace, who's a former actor, voted for Brexit. So there's a sort of division within this family, which of course Ali Smith brings out both the comedy but also the, you know, the drama of that. We then meet Art and Charlotte, who come to visit. And they are from an earlier book. I think it was Winter.
Yes, yes.
They appeared, and they're wonderful characters. So it's nice if you have read you don't need to have read the earlier books, but it is sort of nice to meet these old friends in a way.
Yeah, it sort of ties up some loose ends and ideas, I think.
Yeah, it does. And so they want to go and see Daniel Gluck, who's an older Jewish man who's been living in England since childhood. Then that storyline deals with the treatment by the UK of Germans during that time, and the fact that some of them were detained. So it's sort of parts of history that I didn't know much about, but
they were enemy aliens.
They were enemy aliens. And it reminded me of, I think the US did something similar with the Japanese who lived in the US around that time.
So did we, the Australians,
right,
with the Germans.
Yes, so which again I haven't known much about. So it's interesting you have these bits of history being uncovered. She also talks about the filmmaker Lorenzo Mazzotti, who was Italian, her career and her life. She also draws inspiration from David Copperfield by Charles Dickens and A Winter's Tale, or The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare. And so there's always these literary references with Ali Smith's books, or certainly in this seasonal quartet. She loosely draws from a Shakespeare. I think there's been other Shakespeare plays and other literary references, and a woman artist. And in this case, it's Lorenza Mazzotti. In a way that I think is it's not heavy-handed at all. You don't even need to be familiar with those references, but it just makes it more stimulating and, you know, it brings another dimension to it. And I have to say, I have not read David Copperfield. I haven't read The Winter's Tale either.
Me either.
And I was able to really love the book. But if you had read those, I think you'd find it even richer.
I agree.
You know, you'd get more out of it. So it's had great reviews. It hasn't had the awards attention that the previous ones had. And I think maybe it's a little bit looser. But what did you think, Amanda?
Okay, well, I had lots of thoughts about this one. The first thing I'll say is that Ali Smith set herself a really extraordinary goal in trying to write about what's happening in the contemporary world as quickly as possible. And the thing is that there's kind of a rule of thumb that you need some distance to see events with perspective. But the thing that Ali Smith is able to do is she can apply that perspective in the moment. I think she's very clever that way. She can see things really clearly that maybe it takes other people time to digest. So
she's got a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have commented that bookish people who I follow on Twitter, for example, have commented that they have just loved during this time. If you live in the UK, you've been through Brexit, you've now been through a pandemic, Boris Johnson's in charge, and it's all, there is a lot of people find it quite unsettling, and they've commented it's just wonderful to have Ali Smith commenting on it as we go in real time.
She
to
captures
have, to have
the
her
mood.
Wisdom.
So she's fascinating. I would say, though, for me, this was probably my least favourite of the four. And the reason for that was I just found the characters a little bit hard to relate to and to empathise with. The teenagers, Sasha and Robert Greenlaw, 16 and 13 respectively, they were incredibly intelligent and very precocious. And the way they spoke, to be honest with you, I found it a bit grating, like it was too scripted.
Yeah.
And I think even teenagers who are incredibly intelligent, they still tend to speak in the vernacular most of the time. It's not always this kind of erudite, sort of witty repartee between them. And I think that she overdid that a bit for me, to the point that they irked me.
Yeah.
And I thought, have you spent any time with teenagers? I don't know. But
I found some of the dialogue a bit like that, in a way that I wondered if that was a product of the book being done quickly and having to be revised, and because it then takes into account the pandemic that we're living through. So it's incredibly current.
Mm.
And then to have it published by the time we're reading it in September, I thought maybe if they'd done one or two more edits, they would have cut some of the scenes a little bit and maybe, as you say, just looked at the dialogue and, you know, just...
Maybe, but I'm not... I mean, I don't know. But one reason I thought was maybe Ali Smith is so intelligent that she can't conceive of a character that isn't. You know what I mean?
Like
she can't write someone who doesn't think like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the dialogue in the book is incredibly quick-witted.
Yeah. Which is one of the joys of reading these books.
It
but
is.
As you say, you don't want to get too... It's always, and the other ones as well have had that slightly fairy tale element, haven't they?
Yes. So even though I did enjoy this book, don't get me wrong, if I had to... of the four, this was the one that I enjoyed the least.
Yeah.
However, she did make some excellent parallels, as Anna's already alluded to, like the enemy alien camps in World War II and the way we lock up and mistreat refugees in the current age, like what's really changed. And the other thing she does really well that I think most readers would really appreciate is she's quite funny.
Yes.
And there's this one moment. Robert, the 13-year-old teenager, is obsessed with Einstein and he knows a lot about him. And he's talking about Einstein and Boris Johnson. And he says, "One looks disheveled because disinterested in looks and clothes because thinking." And then he says, the other looks like he's acting a bit drunk or acting like a boy, not a man. It is a brilliant subterfuge to look like he doesn't know what he's doing and make people like him for it.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's so funny.
Yeah. She's so good, isn't she? Yeah. She's very witty. And that's one of the joys of reading the book, because it combines that, you know, very, as you say, erudite references and her incredible brain, but then it is light on the page. You know, it's very lightly done and always with that sense of humour and a very engaging tone. I find her, you know, her tone is friendly and warm and engaging. So it does invite the reader in, even though we know, well, speaking for myself, I'm not at Ali Smith's level and I can't.
Not many people are, I would say.
I know that a lot of the references are going over my head, and even still, she's still so inviting with the way that it's, yeah, the tone of the book.
She makes these incredibly astute observations, and as you say, Anna, with a light touch. And one of the things she says is, the pandemic is making walls and borders and passports as meaningless as nature knows they are. I mean, that's genius, isn't it?
Yeah, she sums things up very quickly. And amazing to be reading a novel that is set in the pandemic that we are living through,
yeah,
isn't
it? Exactly. And she doesn't mention COVID-19 the whole time, but you know there are references to isolation and pandemic, so you know exactly what she's talking about. And she manages to create a work of art that, although it's contemporary, the themes, I think, will carry on, the humanity, the way we treat others, climate change.
And that was one of the hopeful messages from Autumn originally, and I think it's carried through in the other books, was that no matter what happens, art can be a message of hope, art can endure, art can be something we can turn to in dark times.
And yes.
That's a really wonderful thing about it, that we can still enjoy and appreciate art that was made in the 1930s or, you know, in the case of Shakespeare, even earlier.
And get inspiration from it.
And it keeps being reimagined as well,
and
reinterpreted. Yeah, I love that. And I love that she's carried that theme through the four books in such a clever way and really innovative in introducing us to artists that haven't received such fame and attention. So the women artists that she's looked at.
Yeah, I love the way she did that.
So I found it really a joy to read, and like you, it's probably not my favourite, or not the one that I think is the strongest of the four, but just such an easy, enjoyable, stimulating read and very approachable. I love the mix of the big ideas and then the witty wordplay and the sort of grounded in those everyday lives of, you know, Robert and Sasha, and Robert plays pranks on Sasha. He's quite naughty, and then going on this car trip. And the characters comment on different events, and I love how she gives you different perspectives, and she often pulls out one or two quotes that are really startling, and because she just uses one or two of them, it brings you in to focus on them, that and makes you stop, you know, it stops you in your tracks. And one that stood out for me was the description, I think Boris Johnson had said, climate change or the, you know, the greenhouse gases are like a tea cozy around the world. And I remember in the previous books she had a whole string of quotes from Parliament. Remember the parliamentarian who barked at one of the other women in Parliament and said, you know, said woof. And you, when you read it in the novel, you think, oh, well, that can't have happened. And that
did happen.
And because she just pulls out a couple of things like that, as if to say, yes, you might have read it in the news, and when you read things in the news, you're so drowned in all these things in the news, you don't necessarily stop and pay attention, or you're just fatigued from it all. But just a reminder, this happened, you know, this was said. It's quite incredible, actually, that she can leave you feeling optimistic, but also very much aware of what's happening.
And I think the way she does that, Anna, is to bring people together to create a sense of connectedness between people. Mm. So at the end of the day, that's what really keeps the human species going, our connectedness to each other.
Yeah, and the friendships. And so she'll just bring out these beautiful friendships, and they're often platonic. There's a gorgeous running storyline in this book about Robert, who's a young, is he 11 or 12?
He's 13.
13, who has a crush on Charlotte.
It's so cute. And she describes him blushing, and, you know, you can just see it, can't you?
Yeah. Mm. So it's a great read. I highly recommend it. And in particular, I would recommend the whole seasonal quartet.
Definitely.
And because it's so current, you could pick up Autumn and it's still really relevant, you know, today. But as you say, Amanda, because it's not necessarily dated or named, it can be, you know, it could be relevant in 20 years' time or beyond.
Yeah, so. And I think if you read all four of them, it pays off, because there are those characters that reappear, like Daniel Gluck and Art and Charlotte, and it's really nice to kind of find out what happens to them.
Mm. And it just gives you a slice of history in a way, the four of them. So what an achievement.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's relieved that fourth one is now out in the world. I wonder what she'll do next. I don't know, but it will be something amazing. So that was Summer by Ali Smith. Coming up, I think, Amanda, we might do Humankind by
Rutger
Bregman.
Bregman, yes.
I think. And Annie and I are reading something and I've forgotten what it is. Annie has been reading The Paying Guests by Sarah Waters, which I finished a little while ago. And so we still need to do that. That was a very belated Pride Month read from June. But we're getting there. So
good.
Stay tuned. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go. You can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Amanda?
I'm on Instagram at Amanda L. Hayes 99.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.